12. John chapter 12. Got your Bible and you're able to find that place. Let's stand. John chapter 12. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I appreciate the good singing. Appreciate the good testimonies. Thank God for what we feel in our heart. Good Sunday school hour. It's just a good place to be. I can't think of any place I'd rather be than to be in the house of the Lord outside of heaven. Amen. I'd rather be in heaven this morning, but outside of heaven, the house of God's the best place to be. And we're going to look, and I'm going to look in the John chapter number 12. And this don't have nothing to do with the message, but just as a little reminder that if you were to look in typologies and what Christ is doing, in John 11 there is a resurrection of the dead. And then in John 12 it picks up with a marriage supper. Amen. And the folks that just got resurrected are in attendance at the marriage supper. Amen. I say thank God for that. That's a blessing in and of itself. Look with me, if you will, in chapter number 12, verse number 1. I really want to preach this morning. You pray God help me to do that, all right? And I know my voice will probably be a little weak and something like that, but I'd really like to preach this morning for the Lord to help us. And John chapter 12, verse 1 said, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, said, Was this not this ointment sold for 300 pence? Or why was not this ointment sold rather for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but that he was a thief. And he had the bag, and there was, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Much of the people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead." Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you this morning, God, and again we'll say it's good to be in the house of God. And Father, I sure thank you for everything you've been doing for us, and but God, what you've been doing in us, and God, I'm looking for you to do something special today. And Father, we came to the house of God with earnest expectation that the God of glory that was going to meet with us, and that God, that somebody, that Lord, their life might leave changed eternally. And Father, I pray that you'd move on your hearts of the saints of God, and the Lord, these folks, no doubt, all across this room this morning, and we've been praying for and asking you to do something for it. And God, I'm a believer that you're going to do it. I'd ask you, Lord, now that you'd help us. I pray make preaching easy. I'd ask you, God, you give us good unction and utterance from on high. Father, I sure love you tonight. I bless your high and holy name. Ask you all these favors in Christ's name. And for his sake alone, I do pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I start thinking about this. You find that in John chapter number 12, all of a sudden that the room has transposed. It's a transfigure. They're no longer by the graveside. Now they're sitting in a room, and there's a table. And I have to set the scene. You just bear with me. But they've set a table over up over here. And somewhere in this table, there sits John. And there sits Lazarus. And there sits Jesus. And somewhere in the room, there's Mary. And somewhere in the room, there's Martha. There's a bunch of folks gathered up like they would for any dinner if you'd have that. And for just a moment of time, everybody is just enjoying a fellowshipping with one another. Ain't nothing particular happened, and they're all sitting there, and probably really everybody's just sort of sitting looking at one of two people. And they either got their eyes on Christ, or they got their eyes on Lazarus, and nobody else seems to really much matter at this great gathering. But at some point in time, in the middle of this gathering, in the middle of this dinner, in the most unusual way, oh, Mary's sitting there, and she's had all she can have. Her eyes haven't been, no doubt, on Lazarus. But the whole time she sat in that place, as she has had her eyes fixated on the Lord Jesus Christ. And somewhere right in the middle of that thing, and she's not interested in eating no more. And she's not interested in the dinner no more. And she's got one thing on her mind, and that's getting to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, I wonder to God today, if there's ever a good thing and that would help our heart, it would be to get to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say this, friend, no doubt, as she stands there that day and she's looking over where she's looking, I got thinking about a few things. You pray for us just a minute, we'll try to preach. But I got thinking about a few things. We've got a real good example right there of what worship looks like. Let me say, first of all, it happened at an unpredictable time. I mean, listen, that is something that you cannot plan worship. I mean, you plan to praise Him, friend, but worship's something that breaks out in your heart. I'll tell you, you can set it up. I mean, Brother Chase, you can prepare it. I mean, you can get to that place where you've been to praying, and you can say, I'm going to go do it, whether I feel like it or not. But at some point in time, when the Holy Ghost shows up, that's when real worship starts happening. That's when, thank God, you get in contact with another world, and it don't much matter what else is going on. I'm thinking about how many times, and no doubt if you say it, you've been in that place before, driving down the road, minding your own business. Hey, thank God, not looking for nothing to happen, and maybe listening to the radio, or just with your own thoughts, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost jumps right in the vehicle, and He turns your car into a sanctuary. And thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ, all of a sudden has preeminence right in the middle of that place. I was thinking the other day, I was sitting up in my garage, and I was just listening to some music. I wasn't really paying much attention, and all of a sudden a fella had just said a phrase. And Brother Donnie, when he said that phrase, I mean, the Holy Ghost jumped in my heart and said, that's me, that's me. And next thing I know, I was running in circles, and I was shouting a little bit, amen. I'm glad it's real, thank God. It's real, not just in the house of God. But I'll tell you, sometimes you just can't help it. I don't understand how some folks have helped it nearly their whole life, amen. But sometimes, friend, I mean, you get there in that place, and they start singing, and they say, unmerited favor from the Savior, amen. And something jumps in your heart and said, if it wasn't for that, you'd be lost too, amen. I find myself saying, thank God, thank God. I'm sure glad for grace. I'm going to say this, let's all agree on it. And the Lord's worthy of our worship today, amen. I mean, He's worthy of it. And thank God, I believe these folks probably even want to. I'll tell you, at some point in time, you just got to do it, amen. I thought about this. Listen, I wondered, I've been there. You just have to stay with me for a second. Honey, I believe that probably she's sitting in that seat. And that she was sitting, and maybe, I imagine Jesus had the head of the table, amen. I hope He did, thank God. And down there at the head of the table, and probably Mary somewhere on the other end. And I got thinking, I wonder what happened in her heart. Have it made her want to just break loose and just start worshiping right there. I thought of at least three things that I can think of that ought to make worship really break loose. I thought, first of all, I wonder if her mind went back and she remembered what it was like to have seven devils. And then all of a sudden she said, oh man, one day the Lord came passing by my way. If God rescued you out of hell, amen, that ought to be enough, thank God, to worship the Lord, whether you feel like it or don't, amen. Oh yes, thank God. Hey, I was trying to figure this out. I think it's amazing about Mary Chase. And we don't know when the Lord touched her, and we don't know the story about it. How we know one day she had devils and the next day she didn't, amen. Let me say this, I don't have to know your story, amen. And you ain't got to know my story. But I can tell you, lock, stock, and barrel, sure, that was the day I was going to hell. But thank God for the Holy Ghost of God that came passing by my way. And no, it's not every day. It ought to be, honestly. It ought to be every day. I ought to wake up shouting around, and I ain't going to hell. But boy, there's something about some days. I'll be driving down the road, and maybe get up and get to praying, and the Holy Ghost just sink in and said, you know, you was on your way to hell. And I'll say, I sure was. And he'd say, you know, if it wasn't for me, you still would be. And I'll say, I sure would. And he said, boy, don't that make you want to say something to me. And I find myself just this honest truth. I found myself many a time saying, Lord, I thank you. It just don't seem like it's enough. Amen. And bless God, he said, well, it's not. I'll tell you what it is. And that we ought to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable in the sight of God, which is our reasonable service. Amen. It ought to be enough, thank God, to come in the house of God. Here's what I found out. It's always right to praise the Lord. Amen. It's always right. It's always right. It don't matter if it's in Walmart, thank God. It don't matter if it's at the Costco, if it's down at the racetrack, and thank God if it's at the rodeo, wherever you're going to be. If you're saved by the grace of God, and praising the Lord is always right. Amen. Oh, I thought maybe she got to thinking. Maybe she got to thinking about the seven devils that God took out of her life. And boy, that'd be something to just maybe just shout a while about. And maybe she got to thinking about the fact that the Lord just loved her. Amen. You know, John 11, I preached on that last. I mean, somebody probably done forgot that, but I preached on living like a dead man last Sunday morning or whenever the last time I was here. Amen. And when I preached on that, I said this, the Bible says, and now Jesus loved, and the kind of, he didn't just love Lazarus, but he loved Mary also. I mean, you ever just sit down sometimes and get to thinking about as sorry as you are, how much the Lord really does love you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I feel my helper right there. I'm saying this, friend, it does me good. I come in the house of God and to thank man despite. And you say, preacher, ain't you giving him reasons why he shouldn't? Every single day. And you say, how do you know he ain't? Because he said he wouldn't. Amen. And that's good enough for me. He said, for if Apostle Paul was persuaded of it, I think I can be persuaded of it too. He said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers have no things to come, no things past, the things present, no things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I say amen. And you say, what's that mean? That means, thank God, you ain't never went far enough that you've been outside the reach of the love of God. Amen. I don't know where she's sitting at. Maybe she's sitting there someday. Some days it gets more real than others. And if you're saved, you know what I'm talking about. Some days it gets more real than other days. Some days you're more acutely aware of the fact that there's a God in heaven and he loves you more than you could ever imagine. And I'll tell you, I just sometimes, I like to say, then sings my soul, amen. And my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. I like those songs, thank God. I thought maybe she's thinking about what the Lord done for her back then. Maybe she's thinking about, thank God, how much the Lord loves her. Maybe she's thinking about what God just done for her brother. Maybe she's looking at her brother, and then she looks back at the Lord and said, man, I'm not sure why the whole room ain't just got down and worshiped him just yet, but I believe I'll go ahead and try, amen. I mean, sometimes, friend, listen, I can't worship for you, and you can't worship for me, but sometimes I can look. Everybody can't stand where I'm standing at. Hey, Brother Cliff, everybody don't get a stand right here. Hey, Brother Nathaniel, they said, honest before God, and sometimes I get to preach it, and as I go across the crowd, and as I make contact, and the Holy Ghost gets to reminding me of what he done for this family, and what he done for that family, and how he rescued that one, and how he redeemed that one, and how he helped that one, and before very long in my heart, I'm still trying to preach, but I'm wanting to worship, amen. I'm still trying to say what God's done, and then I look around the room, Julie, thank God, and I get to think and listen, and my Lord, I'm waiting on you to do it for that one, and I'm waiting on you to do it for that one, and I'm waiting on you to do it for that one, and the Lord reminds me, thank God, even if we believe not, and yet he abides faithful, if we cannot deny himself, there's going to be a day, friend, and that God will do what he said he would, amen. I don't know what happened. I don't know where it went. I don't know how it transpired. All I know is at some point in time, it got so overwhelming in her heart how good God had been to her. It got so overwhelming in her heart and what God had done for her. And she said, I can't sit here no longer. I can't sit here. This food don't taste like it did a second ago. Yeah, but Amen. And this conversation, it ain't going as good as it did a second ago. And she had one thing on her mind. And she said, man, I got to get up there. And I got to get to right where he's at. And I don't know how that works. You know, they have the best I understand when they'd lay down, they'd fold up their feet behind them. And so when she gets down there, and she just goes and listen, here's the thing, let me say this to you. It was not a predictable worship. It wasn't even popular. I would have thought this. Now, I don't know, you know, I like this. Y'all understand somebody's always got to be first, amen. And usually what happens when somebody starts worshiping, it sort of bleeds off on the other people to want to worship. But not on this day. And I can't even wrap my mind around it. I'll be honest with you, Brother Jerry. I was sitting there and I was thinking, I wonder how come Lazarus didn't go with her. And so I started thinking about, I wonder how come Lazarus didn't see her go get down. And Lazarus say, hey, I believe I'll go get down too, amen. How about listen to me, friend? I want you to hear me well. I want you to listen to me real good tonight. Worship's not always popular. It's not always going to be everybody going to go with you. Not everybody's always going to move with you. But I'm glad I don't worship based on what somebody else has or based on what somebody else has got. God has done more than enough for me. For real, sincere worship and a break forth in my heart, amen. And so thank God. It doesn't make any difference, amen. I come in the house of God. And now sometimes I can get frustrated. And sometimes I can get discouraged. But Brother Jason, I can come in, I can sit in the pulpit. I can look like this morning, for instance. Honest to God, it wouldn't make no difference to me if everybody in this room just stared at me and went to sleep. I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven that's been good enough to me. I believe I'll just preach on. Hey, listen, I'll sing. I'll sing at the end if I need to. I'm just telling you, it's a good place to be. And when I stand where I stand at, I'm reminded of what I'm reminded of. And I know there's a God who's worthy of it. Amen. There's something about it. I don't know what tastes, not popular. It's not predictable. When you get that thing, it wasn't even private. I like private worship, don't you? I mean, listen, I like to be in my prayer closet. You know what I like best about my prayer closet is I don't have to put no filters on what I say or how I act. I like the fact when I get in my prayer closet, if I decide to holler like an Indian, it doesn't matter. I'm not affecting nobody else around me. I'm very much aware of the fact and that I am loud and my nature is that way. Brother Chase, sometimes the way I worship, it gets attention, takes attention off. I'm not trying to take the attention off Christ. I'm just trying to be what God made me to be. But that's what when you get in your prayer closet, you ain't got to worry about nobody else. You know what makes us so good, Brother Bill? As first I can confess, and I can confess freely. I can go down the checklist and see it. I don't say, Lord, forgive me for all my sins. That's a cop-out and you know it, amen. That's a cop-out and you know it, thank God. That's a cop-out and you know it, amen. That's a cop out and you know it, amen. That is a cop out and you know it, amen. And that don't hurt you much to say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. But boy, it'll hurt you when you got to bow your head and you got to start listing those sins off. I think they ought to hurt us, don't you think so? I mean, it hurt him on Calvary. It sure enough probably ought to hurt us when we're confessing them, amen. And so he gets in that place. And I thought it wasn't even private. She didn't even care what anybody thought. Everybody staring at her, no doubt. Everybody saying, this ain't the time. You know how Baptists are. I think Baptists are all throughout the New Testament. And they say, oh, this ain't the right time. This is the fellowship hall time. This ain't praising God time. And she didn't seem to much care about that. And she didn't care what about anybody thought. And God had just been so good to her. And she couldn't wait for a different time. It had to be that time, amen. And I want you to notice this. I find the example of worship. But then I thought about when you come to this, and there is an expense of worship. It will cost you something, amen. If you're going to listen to me, friend, and where them shouters go a second ago, amen. Worship will cost you something. And that's why many folks don't do it. And you know what she did? She went and got some ointment, and it was 300 pence. That's a year's worth of wages. I'll tell you this, Brother John, I dare say, and I don't want to speak for you, and you don't speak for me, but I dare say that not one person in this room that has ever committed a year's worth of salary and just dumped it off for the Lord in one thing. I'll tell you this, thank God, sometimes God can't get us even to get up out of our seat, let alone give a year's salary, amen. Amen, preacher. Yeah. Preach on right there. Sometimes, thank God, I think God would settle for a smile and maybe a hand lift. Amen. That'd help us. Let's start right there. Amen. That'd be a good place to start. But not Mary. She gets up from her seat. And she just, honey, I don't know how this works exactly. But she gets up from her seat. I've been sitting there just eating. Probably tears started flowing. She said, I'll be right back. And when she went back to her room, she comes back out. And she didn't have just an ounce. She had a whole pound of spikenard ointment. And boy, when she showed up, she wasn't interested in giving it to nobody else. She said, man, I've been waiting on this day right here. And boy, I'm going to give this whole thing to the Lord. Amen. I'm going to say this to you, friend. Real worship will cost you something. It might cost you your pride. It might cost you your humility. You know why more folks don't worship than what they do, honestly? And because there's so much sin in their life, God won't let them worship around that sin. You don't have to deal with things that are not right first. And when you deal with things that ain't right, then God will let you get in that glory world. Amen. And so until that point, you just sort of have to stay back and watch other people worship. And I don't know why people like that, but that grieves me to my heart. I'm asking God, somebody else gets hooked in. I'm saying, God, let me get in on it. Amen. I want to be in on what they're in on. And so she shows up this place, got this pound of spikenard, and she gets ready to get down that place. I thought it might cost you. It might cost you your riches. It might cost you your reputation. And you know what she does with her hair on that day? And Brother Don, I like this so good. And she gets down to that place, and she, Holly, she just lets her hair down. And Brother David, what God done for her. And she just gets it. Now listen, that don't mean much to us today. How we all look, but that, you know, when old Arnie Deco and his girls came in here and his wife, and they covered their little heads when they came in the house of God. And that's what they'd wear them. I don't want them no more. Hijabs or hijabs or whatever they're called. You know, if they put on top of their head, that's what the ladies would wear. And they didn't let their hair down for just anybody. You know who they saved that thing for? And they saved it for their husband. Amen. And now listen, and that was the only person. It was considered a mockery if a bunch of men had seen her hair and her own husband didn't. Probably what this lady does right here is she labels herself so much that there's probably not going to be anybody else want anything to do with her. But that don't seem to matter too much to her. And she said, I don't really care about any other man. I'm not trying to find a husband. I'm trying to worship a Savior. Amen. And so she gets down that place and she uncovers that head. And she lets down her hair, and the man, and you know all the Jews are sitting around. They say, man, I wouldn't have done that. Oh, boy, I wouldn't have done that. Oh, I know it. Thank God I've washed them. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I've been preaching long enough, Brother Keith. I've seen them. They say, they raise their eyebrows. Say, I wouldn't have said that, preacher. I wouldn't have acted like that, preacher. And that's that same crowd that was around back whenever David finally got the Ark of the Covenant home. And he said, I believe I'll just go dance before the Lord. And on Miss Al, she comes out there and she says, oh, how glorious was the king today in uncovering himself. And I like how David said, he said, I'll become more base than this. Amen. In other words, David said, you ain't seen nothing yet, thank God. He said, if God gets still in my heart, I ain't worried about what you think about it. I'm worshiping before the Lord. Amen. When you get to worship before the Lord, you ain't worried about what anybody else thinks about it. You ain't worried about how it sounds, amen. You ain't worried about, thank God. I'm talking about it's as unto the Lord, amen. It's as unto the Lord. As she gets in that place, it might cost you riches. It might cost you some reputation. I thought about this, it might cost you some ridicule. You know, one of the disciples, one of the 12 might come by and they say, this is a waste, amen. And they say, man, this is a waste. And I've been again, listen, I'm pretty hard on Baptists. Amen, that's right. But I get in the house of God sometimes, Brother Josh, and I think folks get to seeing people worship and they think this is a waste of time. And I'm telling you, that's the only reason we came. Amen. I don't know if you even get it or not. But the only reason we came today was to meet with the God of glory. Amen. Just to worship Him. I didn't come to start at 11 or 10. And I didn't come to get out at 12 or 12:15 or 12:30. And what I came to do is just try the best I can. And try in this old humble flesh. Had to look up at God and say, God, I know I don't deserve it. but man, you've been good to me. You've been good to my family. Hey, you've been good to everybody around me, God. And that's worthy of at least my hand to go up. And probably worthy of a few tears. It's for sure worthy of me to purpose in my heart. I'm going to worship God. Amen. Oh, yes. Thank God. Listen, all that was introduction. Here's a short message. Y'all ready? And I'm done. I'm done, but I don't want you to miss this part. I mean, we find an example of worship, and then we find the expense of worship, but then we see the expectation of worship. I mean, she gets down here, and there's some things that God just put in my heart. I want you to really get in your heart tonight, and I hope that God will really help us as we showed up in this place. And the first thing I thought about is how it must have impacted the Savior. I got to thinking, Brother Donnie, I wanted to know what Spikenard smelled like. I mean, if it's got to do with worship, Sheila, it's got to smell good, don't you guess? And I had never had none, so I thought, man, I'm going to get me some Spikenard. And my wife, she's my Amazon account monitor. And she calls me and she says, why in the world are you ordering some Spikenard in here? And I said, honey, I said, just leave it alone. Just leave it alone. I'm telling you, sometimes I get to thinking about that. And this is what I read. I read one of the things about Spikenard that makes Spikenard so good. Yes, so the reason it's used in so many different perfumes is because it lasts so long. But I got to thinking about this. And I want you to grab a hold of some of that stuff. I'd like for you to get on. Listen, it does not smell good, friend. And brother, whenever I got a hold of that, and I wish it smelled pretty, I'm giving all of you some. Some put your hand out here. Hey, Les, I'm going to tell you this. It does not smell good. And I'll try to rub as much on you as I can rub on you. But I want you to listen to me. The Holy Ghost, Brother Nathaniel, put it in my heart. And that worship is never pleasing to the flesh. But that's not who we're trying to please. We're trying to please God. Amen. It's not about what flesh likes. It's not about smelling good to you. It's not about how you feel about it. A worship is about smelling and pleasing God. Amen. Oh, yes. She gets in that place. I mean, listen, this does not. I give some to Ty a little bit beforehand, and he got the smell of it, and he said, phew. He said, well, it ain't just real bad. And my brother Bill, I'll tell you what's real good about it and what you'll find. I put some on me early this morning. And the longer this day went, and the better this thing smelled. Amen. I mean, it's strong, neighbor. That's strong, thank God. And I got to thinking about Brother Nathaniel. And when she got to, you can't make this up. I asked Google. I said, hey, Google, how long does Spikenard last? And it said it can last up to 84 hours. It said unless it gets in somebody's hair, and then it can last for days and weeks. And boy, I'm telling you what happened right there. And the Holy Ghost got to deal with me big time. And boy, the Lord just got there. And she put all that Spikenard on his legs. And put that Spikenard on his feet. And boy, she got to anointing him. And the next day, he's getting ready to make his triumphal entry. But a week later, and when he's up on Calvary, friend, and when he's being crushed like a rose, and there's a lady whose hair just wraps around, and every time she gets a whiff of that hair, and she's reminded of how she prepared his body. I want you to listen. Her worship made an impact on the Savior. Amen. It might have stunk, the Bible says, and the odor filled the room. It might have stunk up the whole house, but it smelled good to him. Amen. Oh, yes. Listen, can I tell you how special this must have been? It must have been so special. You know, listen, don't nobody get nervous about this. But this lady worshiped so good. I guess who the first person was to see a resurrected Savior?
Amen. You're right.
Amen.
Amen. Yep.
Listen. Listen. Hold on to your hats, neighbor. That must mean if we worship the Lord, we might get to see some things nobody else has seen.
Right.
Woo! I get to experience some things nobody else experienced. Peter, James, and John, they're sitting back at the house and they're depressed. But old Mary's there with her hair in front of her face, smelling what she's worshiped, looks over and sees a gardener who then says, "Mary, it's I, amen." And say, listen, friend, I'm saying this, it made an impact on the Savior, amen. You reckon you've ever, listen, God ever moved in our heart in such a way that we thought, I ain't leaving here till I make an impact on Him? I thought about a couple things. Number one, it impacted the Savior. Number two, that whole smell infiltrated the house. I mean, now listen, all I've got is just a few ounces. That's all that's there. And I'm giving it to as many people as can get a hold of it. And I want you to get a hold of it. I'm going to rub some on your beard. He's going to smell that longer. Yeah. Yeah. I don't want Chase to forget the message. You're going to go down this thing. You're going to get some of that sweet smell on you. And you're going to say, man, this does not, it don't smell good, does it? No. 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 The Lord said, she's done this for my body. And before very long, Brother Kim, it got to flowing through the whole house. And when they got to flowing through the whole house, and the whole smell filled the whole house, I thought about this. I don't know what they had for supper, but that ointment, it smelled stronger than what they ate. Oh, yeah. Listen, look up here at me. That spiritual food got to smelling better than that natural food did. Yeah. I don't read where the chicken filled the house. I don't read where the dumplings filled the house. But I do read where that odor of her worshiping, it filled the whole house. That means everybody went home that day smelling what she done. Everybody did. Now listen, I'd like to worship. I'm talking about for me. I'd like to worship in such a way that it affects you on your way home. No. Listen, don't get this thing twisted. I don't want you to walk out of this thing thinking, did y'all see what Brother Kevin did? Did y'all hear what Brother Kevin said? I want you to walk out of this thing saying, man, boy, God sure has been good to him, ain't he? I want you to just stay tuned with me. It must have infiltrated the whole house, but I'm going to tell you this. The last thing I'm going to say is this. It really impacted the other saints that was around her. Let me tell you how I can prove it. Mark chapter 16, verse number 9. Here, you can have this too. My hands has got a lot on it. You can have some too. Everybody's wanting Luke. Mark chapter 16, verse number 9. Whenever old Mark writes about Mary being outside the tomb of Jesus, he said, it's Mary that had seven devils. But Mark was not in the room this day. I want everybody to listen. Y'all just stay tuned. Maybe God will help you with this. Get down the road, all right? Mark was not in the room on this day. Mark comes later. Mark's gospel is probably written as he's talked to Peter. Mark writes it down. Holy Ghost. I mean, the Holy Ghost does it. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Mark's not a disciple. Mark's not around at this time. So Mark, all he knows is what somebody else has said about Mary. He says, she had seven devils. John was in the room this day. John was there. And if you remember, before John can tell the story of how Jesus resurrected Lazarus, he said, there was Mary. He said, that anointed the feet of Jesus. See, at some point in time, her worship changed her identity. Nobody recognized her. Boy, I'm telling you what, I wish I could get out of my heart and put that in yours, just like God put it in mine. But at some point in time, while she's worshiping, her identity changed for everybody around her. They no longer looked at her and said, that's the person that had seven devils. From that day forward, they said, man, that's somebody that worshiped the Lord. Amen. I'd sure like to have a church full of folks like that. We've had some before. I think we've got a few now. But I long for them mischance to stand up in their seat every single service, whether it's high or low. Look around, wondering if anybody else is going to stand up. And then when nobody else stands up, she says, well, the Lord's been mighty good to me.
Amen.
Brother Rod, I love. What is it? So when I listen, I know about her testimony. But Brother Jess, when I think about Chet Johnson, I don't think about her testimony of redemption. I think about the impact of her worship on everybody in this building. And I'd sure like to have that. Let me ask you this, honest. I'm done preaching. But you reckon there's ever been enough worship in your life to fill this whole house up? I wonder if there's ever been enough in mine. You reckon there's been enough that we could be real good to have a whole church full of folks that'd be honestly that want to get together and just remember what God's done for us? So I'd really like to worship God, see what kind of impact it'd have on Jamestown. See what God might really do. Stand to your feet. I'm done preaching. I'm done. I've cleared my heart.